I think there are two topics today that we could discuss. One is the letters of intent, and the other one is some work on the document. I will send a new version now. Of course, you cannot have read it, but we can discuss. I can show you some points there, and we can discuss them online. So perhaps first with the letters of intent. So currently there are two letters of intent that have arrived at OMG. That's from Fraunhofer Focus and from Thematics. The good thing is that both organizations are platform members, so they are also allowed to submit an answer to the RFP and to vote and so on. However, it would look better if we also have others submitting, and so I suggest that, yeah, of course Magdeburg should submit an RFP. So yeah, I think I asked Fabian to the details, and then Michael. So Toronto can also submit an RFP. A letter of intent.
Given I sent you an email like asking exactly to clarify if we're able to, but given your email, yeah, we can submit an LOI.
Ah, great.
So maybe till you can capture the two names on the chat. I missed the first one. I know the second one is Thematics.
Yeah. So OMG has so the first one is Fraunhofer Focus in Berlin.
So did you say both are voting members or what kind of member?
Platform members.
Or platform members.
Rick also promised a letter of intent.
Who?
Rick.
Rick Murphy.
Yeah. I wrote him and he said he will do it.
Ah, okay.
You were on this email.
Yeah, I remember. But the deadline is soon, so it's May 19th, I think.
I can remind him.
Yeah, that would be nice. So if we have some more letters of intent, it just looks better. I mean, we have a voting list. I'm not sure what this exactly means, but it seems to me that these organizations register themselves for voting about this standard. So it's Commissariat à l'énergie atomique, CEA, Fraunhofer Focus, Fujitsu, Hewlett-Packard, Mitre, NIST, Thales, and Thematics. So that's eight companies. So that's quite good that we have eight. But only two letters of intent. Of course, a letter of intent is a bit more a larger commitment to the standard than just being willing to vote for this or vote about the standard, because that basically means that you commit to commercially use the standard somehow. And therefore, you have a larger commitment, basically. I'm just looking for the regulations. So the OMG regulation says any technology adopted by the OMG requires the submitting companies to sign a letter of intent saying that they will have commercially developed product based on the technology within 1 year of it becoming standard. In addition, they agree to freely license the interface to anyone that wants to use it. So this commercially available product could also be some freely available ontologies or some freely available software, as I understood from OMG guys. So in Michael's case, it would be Colore, and in Magdeburg would provide HETS and OntoHub. Okay, now Christoph has asked about membership. There is a members
yes.
page.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I found the answer. Our institute is not a member, and I think we'll have to leave it at that because, well, looking at the research agenda of the group of which I'm a member, onto IOP is for the moment rather my personal hobby than something
yeah.
that's crucial for our group.
I mean, it's not so that expensive for university members. It's, I think, $550
mm-hmm.
per year.
Mm-hmm.
For platform members, it's, of course, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I think about $10,000 or $20,000 a year.
Mm.
But for university members, it's okay with $550.
Mm-hmm. But I was rather talking about the research institute, no?
Yeah, but I think
the
that's the same as university.
Okay. But still, I think Onto IOP doesn't have the required standing in our institute at the moment. So it's something that I'm working on and occasionally, well, reporting to people, but there is no, it's not on any critical path for the moment. I hope this will change at some time. But we are mostly dealing with data with very little semantics, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay. So any ideas who else could sign a letter of intent?
How about, for people in this meeting, how about the institution where Ziming Liu comes from?
I can try to explore the, yesterday we just had a meeting from, mainly from industries talking about big data. But on the other hand, there's not many of them talked about this ontology. But I can see, certainly, there is a problem there. So I do have a contact with, company that is based in Birmingham, the Digital Life Science. So I know the CEO, and we are discussing some kind of possible joint project. So I will ask them and see. Right. So what are the main points? Is basically if someone in this group have to send this letter of intent so that they will sign on it.
Yeah, basically, with this letter of intent, you express your interest in the Onto IOP standard
yeah.
and also your willingness to use it in a commercial product. But it could also be a free software product. And this would support this Onto IOP standard because if there are more letters of intent, then OMG sees, okay, there are really companies and research organizations and universities that actually use this or intend to use this.
Okay.
But you have to be a member of OMG in order to be able to sign a letter of intent.
Oh, I see. That might be difficult. So I need to find out who they are and who they are not. So, right. So that's my deadline is quite tight, right? So 19th now is about basically 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. Less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
12 days.
So, yeah, I can't promise them, so, but I can explore, right?
Mm. Tim, is there a standard template for the LOI that we could use?
Let me just provide that for you.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah, the question for Ziming Liu, you're from University of Manchester, right?
No, I'm from Birmingham State University.
Oh, Birmingham. Sorry.
Yeah. So I do have a colleague who is interested in data and things, but I will also just, they have also some contacts on it.
Well, it's really a question whether your institution is already a member of OMG. If you are a member of OMG, you should just be able to, you will have an OMG liaison, and you, at your institution, and you would just say, okay, I would like to support it, and then, about that form, which is just, you know, giving your name and your address in the form and say, signing it.
You mean that the university council signs this letter, right?
Sorry?
A university academic organization can also sign this letter?
Yes. But you have to become a member. So I have just searched. Birmingham is not a member. University of Birmingham.
Birmingham City University.
No, the University of Birmingham is not a member. So I have posted this link where you can search for members. Birmingham is not a member.
No. We are not Birmingham University. We are Birmingham City University.
Yeah, but also this, I have just searched for Birmingham and there's no result.
So do you know which university in the UK?
So you can use this link. I have posted in the search. I can repost it again. Search for OMG members.
Okay.
There's a link becoming an OMG member, so if you're not a member, you can become a member.
You can become a member very soon, meaning without needing any time? So if we pay the money, we become a member?
Yeah, so membership costs $550 for university.
Yeah.
Per year. But you can also just become a member for 1 year if you want.
Oh yeah. So we can simply, if we do it today, tomorrow we can become a member. Is that so simple?
Yeah.
Okay, then I can talk to our managers here. So we can probably, I think I should have a say. Okay? Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Then that would be easy if you leave. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
I can see.
Some benefits. If you are a member, you can have access to all the documents of OMG. Also, the standards are freely available anyway, but the drafts are not freely available, and the drafts can be seen by OMG members.
Yeah. And of course, you can vote.
Yeah, but I'm not quite interested in voting, so what we just have to know of. Anyway, so to help us to solve this problem, I require, but we will need UML anyway. I have been, in long term. Yeah, so I will look into this. But at the same time, I will search which are the universities. So it's basically if our university become a member, whose signature has to be there? Do you need my signature or anybody else's signature? Phil.
Basically, you need a contact person from your university.
Okay.
And you can specify who should be the contact person, and he will be able to actually sign the letter then.
Okay, yeah.
So most likely if you want to be a member, then you would be the contact person.
Okay. I will try to sort it out. Right? Yeah. It's 500 is now quite big. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, I made a post on the chat. Just quick scan on the list. People we do work with a lot. I mean, people like NIST, MITRE, EDM Council. I mean, these are good potentials if someone like Till or Michael or Fabian would like to contact them.
You think we could get Leo to do one?
Just someone has to ask him. He's actually part of the Onto IOP team, although we don't see him
at
this meeting.
Sorry, who?
Leo Oberst. from MITRE.
He's at MITRE.
Okay, I can ask Leo, what about EDM Council? Who is there? Do we have a contact at EDM?
So you also have different types of members, right?
Yes, university members actually cannot vote. They can just they can join the meetings and they can see the documents. And platform members, for example, can vote, but they have to pay more. And platform members can also submit an answer to the RFP. So Thematics or Fraunhofer will actually submit our document because Magdeburg or Toronto cannot do this.
Well, I mean, I think there are some places I mean, it's a little bit more complicated, right? There are some places where we can actually vote, I think. So, I mean, the membership level are a little bit complicated. But, yeah. So MITRE is a member, that's a good thing. Do we know somebody at Saarland University?
Yeah. Saarland, yeah.
Okay, because they are a member too.
I know Werner Stefan there, who's doing verification stuff.
Right.
So he's interested, yeah.
I mean, not going to be much of an effort on his side, you just need to sign this form.
Yeah, well, good point, yeah.
I can see that at home you know some technology as a member, so I can see whether so Joseph Fuhrman is there. I know him very well.
And then there is the Humboldt University zu Berlin, which you have contacts to as well, right?
That's basically Fraunhofer Focus, but of course it's different. Yeah, that's true. My contact is both at Fraunhofer Focus and Humboldt University, so he could separately sign it. That's interesting. Okay, yeah.
It has to be, for the LOI, there has to be an executive. It can't just be anybody at the company. And it might not be the member, the actual rep at OMG. They might have to go to their management.
What about universities then? What would be considered for that?
That's a good question. I actually don't know.
Well, in the university, I mean, we just became members, so when we went through that process, we had to appoint various roles, which were a little bit silly because they were clearly intended for companies. So basically for us, Till is the CEO. Has the CEO role, and our secretary has the financial role, and you know, so we assigned various roles. So,
I misunderstood. Are you talking about LOIs?
Yeah.
Oh, well, a university generally doesn't, well, maybe you do if you're going to actually make an implementation. But generally it's some kind of organization that will maintain long-term maintenance and selling or posting some sort of a software as a vendor.
As opposed to open source?
Yeah, open source is fine too. You know, as long, I don't know, that comes down to the business committee stuff. I mean, universities, you don't normally expect them to have ongoing maintenance of software. But, you know, there's, in principle, no reason why they couldn't. But if they're really going to do that, then from executive level, I don't know what it is like. And the idea is to get some commitment at executive level of the submitter that they are going to do this. So it can't just be any rep that comes from the company. It has to be someone who has some control over the direction of what will happen in the company and some commitment from them. So with the university, I don't know really what that is. I don't know how that would work exactly.
So for Magdeburg University, the commitment would be to maintain the OntoHub platform, which is open source, but which will be a major software platform for DAW, for the language that is the answer to the RFP. And so,
yeah,
so
that might work.
For Toronto, it would be the Colora repository. So that would be kind of using DAW for this repository. I'm not sure whether this also qualifies or it should be always software that is implemented.
For the LOI, I mean, it has to be some tool that adheres to the standards in some way.
There are
open source projects on GitHub related to it. But I mean, the university wouldn't really sign off on that for me. Right? I mean, they don't. There's nobody who's my manager and who would be approving all of this.
Well, I can just say for Magdeburg, the representative of Magdeburg, as far as the OMG is concerned, is here, because you filled out the form that way. I mean,
the form you give to OMG for your reps is different from who signs the LOI. For example, I was at a little company. I was the rep. There was maybe another rep, but the person who signed it was higher up, you know, like a VP. So they're committing that the company is going to provide this product. And like I said, I don't know what the business committee at OMG considers the analogy for university. But, you know, you can, sounds like you can go ahead with what you were thinking of and see what the business committee says, or you can ask them.
So this sounds that
it would be a good idea if you had at least one LOI from some kind of non-university thing.
Well, we have actually two LOIs, one from companies, from platform members, one from Thematics, that's a company, and one from Fraunhofer Focus, which is a research institute.
Yeah, Fraunhofer has got a commercial infrastructure, right? I mean, you got a president or a managing director or something.
Yeah, they have a commercial infrastructure. You know, they're working a lot.
So you
have
to find somebody in that chain that can sign it.
Yeah,
maybe it's you.
So, I think then, as I understood Conrad, we should only encourage LOI submissions in cases where there are really people that want to develop and maintain some software. Is this correct? Otherwise,
yeah,
we should not persuade people to submit an LOI because it will look badly, because Hongzhou will detect that they won't do what they promised.
Perhaps. Yeah, it's better to, I mean, OMG wants the standards implemented, so they want these LOIs from people who can sincerely commit to implementation and maintenance of these tools, you know.
So what's normal for a project? How many LOIs?
You only need one, but usually you get, you know, three-ish.
Okay. So we are not talking 20 here, we're talking three-ish. Good. So, since we already have two, and we know that both Magdeburg and Toronto can be seriously say they are implementing stuff which is relying on it, we are with four, we would be in a good area.
Okay, but would it be wise to have Toronto in there, although Toronto just provides ontologies?
There are, like, say, software that we're writing to support Colora. So.
Ah, okay. Sorry.
Well,
it
wouldn't be a bad idea to have a broader base of things that come out of this. You know, if somebody's submitting an ontology and agreeing that they'll maintain it over some period, that'd probably be a good thing to illustrate the breadth of the proposal.
Yeah, well, yeah, so, although, like, my question has kind of always been, like, is that still kind of weak? I mean, you know, what Conrad's saying is that Like OMG is really looking for, for companies that are producing products. And so I definitely would include the University of Toronto in that category. I mean, the software building and
It doesn't need to be a company producing a product. There just needs to be some organization, the more general case is some organization that's producing software that's available to the public in some way or other, free or not, that they commit to producing and maintaining and,
Well, I think ontologies count as software products in a wider sense, and I don't expect Michael to stop producing ontologies tomorrow.
And Michael will produce software as well.
So the
question is, will this software be the way that, I guess, will the software conform to the standard?
Well, that's the intent, yes. Well, okay, I'll submit the LOI, and OMG can be free to discount it.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it doesn't hurt, so I'll send one in.
Okay, but then we have four LOIs already, and then this should suffice. If you say, Conrad, that the usual number is three-ish, then I think four is three-ish enough.
That'll be fine.
Yeah, okay. At least if, so only if we have some companies that would sign, but I don't know. So NIST
and... What it does procedurally is it helps it look good when you have multiple submitters on it, because then the voters feel like, well, okay, there's going to be software out there that supports this. If they see only one, it just doesn't look good, because especially OMG allows one, but how do you get interoperability with one? So it helps to have multiple, when it comes up, this gives the credibility that this is something that will be out there and available and people can use.
But submitters can only be organizations having signed an LOI?
Yeah, there's the submitters, and then informally, if you want, on the document, you can list supporters. The only thing that survives is the names of the submitters who get copyright on the published standard. And those submitters, or somebody, is required at the end to file what's called a business committee questionnaire, which again says, I'm going to implement this in more strong terms, I guess. So you see they're checking all along to make sure the thing gets actually implemented before it gets out of the gate.
Okay. So then the submitters would be Thematics and Fraunhofer Focus, because universities cannot submit, if I understood right. So then Toronto and Magdeburg would just be supporters.
Well, like I say, I don't know the stuff about universities, and it doesn't hurt for them to submit if they really plan on, in the long term, supporting this software conforming to the standard.
Yeah, I think Magdeburg will be the main implementer of the software, so more than Thematics, say. But the problem is that Magdeburg at the university cannot submit. I'm pretty sure about that.
Well, this does have to do with your membership. I mean, there's only a government, I don't know about university, but government, once you get down to the lower ones, I think you get restricted as to whether you can submit technology. You have to check that matrix.
But we cannot afford, so we are just a university member for these $550, and we cannot afford to become a platform member. I don't have the money for that.
So you guys already looked at this matrix they have?
Yes.
And suppose the technology, government, university influencing, and below, you can't submit technology.
So that would mean Thematics and Fraunhofer are to the two submitters, Magdeburg and Toronto are the supporters, and then that's it. So that
universities can be above a university membership, but if that's not the case, then if he doesn't.
Oh, and can you submit the link? Are you looking at a particular document right now?
Yeah, go to the LNG website.
Mm-hmm.
And go to About Us there on the upper left.
Yeah.
Can you paste a link?
And then go to Membership Benefits.
Yeah.
And then you'll see this thing on that little list on the left called the Membership Matrix.
Oh, there. Yeah. Okay. I'll just post the link.
I have posted the link already.
Oh, okay.
And you see how way down at the bottom, the next to the last line is, can propose technology for adoption. And you see how it's dropped off after, when you get to university government and so on, it drops off. But that you can be a university and still buy platform domain contributing and so on. We used to do that, actually. We were government, but we had a contributing and then a platform, and then back down to government. Because, I mean, we can't, in the long term, maintain and provide products. So, and the only thing we really lose is we can't be on the AB or proposed technology or the board of directors, none of which we really cared about. And the PTC vote we didn't care about. So if Michael is only at university level, then yeah, he can't LOI.
We can find an LOI, can't we?
Why? Yeah, that's not clear to me. Why are you saying that we can't? Why do you say that we can't do an LOI?
Well, I was saying, I didn't. When Michael was saying he was going to send in an LOI, I wasn't really thinking about what level he was at. If Michael's only at a university level, then he can't submit an LOI.
That's right.
I don't understand that. Why do you say that? You mean because that would fall under the category of can propose technology for adoption?
Right. Proposing technology for adoption means that you're going to submit. Well, you can't be a submitter unless you LOI. Proposed technology for adoption means submit. To make a submission. Be an official submitter to an RFP.
Okay.
And
but why did
you can't be an official submitter to an RFP unless you file the LOI first.
Yeah, but you could submit an LOI without submitting an answer to the RFP. Why did Elisa Kendall actually ask Magdeburg to write an LOI for API 4KB? I think she knows that we are a university member only.
Well, I've never heard of that, but you could do that. Maybe that makes it look more credible, you know, but I don't know why, because on the document that everyone's going to see, you know, the people who can't submit but did file an LOI won't be distinguished from the supporters. You know what I'm saying? So politically speaking, you don't get any leverage out of filing an LOI and not submitting. And you can't submit without the LOI. I tend to think of them together, you know. I've never heard of separating them.
But being a supporter, I thought the way I understood that is being a supporter is something we don't try to gather now. That's when we submit.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right, yeah.
So we have half a year of basically doing the work and convincing people that this is a good proposal. And then we propose the technology for adoption and gather support.
Yeah, you can gather support at any time. You can do it before the initial submission, or you can do it between initial and revised.
Mm.
They can come and go. Supporters are essentially comments. They have no official OMG. They're just there to make it look good when you present it.
Mm.
It look like it has support.
Okay.
So if Michael is only at the university level, he could LOI, but there's not much point in taking that effort because he won't appear as a submitter on the document that's submitted. It'll be just as if he didn't LOI. So I don't know. I don't know why Elisa would have asked someone to do that before. Maybe she forgot.
Yeah, but for example, in API 4KB, there are about 10 LOIs, and Magdeburg has signed an LOI. Also, Arizona State University has signed an LOI, and University of Aberdeen, and they're all only university members. And basically, Elisa Kendall,
she's trying to fool people. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Well, let's look at the LOI document. Last time I looked at it, it is not the kind of thing you sign unless you can.
Yeah, but Elisa should know what she's doing in OMG. So.
Yeah. Well, in fact, you know, a little too much. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And in fact, suppose you submit a document where there's all these submitters on it. They look at the LOI and somebody forgets to see that, oh, you're only a university member. Maybe no one checks it. You know, but.
You mean we could even submit?
Well, yeah, you submit this document and you list the submitters, all these people who are not allowed to submit. Maybe someone doesn't notice. Eventually, maybe.
Okay, I don't know. Well, yeah, we can try.
So I don't know what my sense is what Elisa is doing is just pulling a fast one. It's not really, you really shouldn't do that. I'm trying to look at the LOI document. I don't know where you get these guys.
Fabian has sent a link.
For the LOI document.
You mean the form?
Yeah, there's a form for...
Yeah, I... sent that to 1714. Oh, yes.
I just have reposted it. So it's in the chat, the last one.
LOI. So, you know, I would not do what Elise is doing. That guy's not kind of not cool. So look at this document. It says it confirms the intent to submit a response. Well, you're not allowed to submit a response if you're only at the university level. Okay, so the LOI is just an intent to submit. And then the BCQ that comes later is the intent to implement. But, you know,
we intend to submit, but then we see, we're not allowed.
You see whatever Lisa is doing is just pulling a fast one, you know. You're not supposed to do that.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
This is Terry. You could easily submit the LOI first with the intent of becoming a platform member if the thing goes forward.
Then later on you might see, okay, we don't have the money, and then we let the others submit.
Yeah, it might be something like that, but those are edge cases. I don't know. You guys can do whatever you want. It's just, you know, I'm just telling you the way it's normally done.
I still think you ought to talk to Oberst. Mitre would be a good name to have on your LOI list.
Okay, but generally, I think we don't need to ask all these other universities because that does not really make sense. We should restrict ourselves to companies.
Yeah, I think so.
But, I mean, if you ask companies and the barriers really, or the ideas that means that they will develop some software, that's a very high, it's not something new is going to sign, whoever is the responsible at MITRE is going to sign, unfortunately, because MITRE is not intending to do it.
And none of these universities have platform membership?
Oh yeah, that's a good point. So we could ask universities that have platform.
Yeah, platform or contributing.
But Humboldt, for example, has not. Saarland University has not. So I would say we don't ask them. NIST has not. Then there was EDM Council. domain, okay. EDM Council would be cool because it's a domain member.
I think EDM Council would be good at different levels as well. If they have some ownership there, and they would actually submit turn in an LOI and have some ownership on this, their use, eventual use of Onto IOP would be extremely useful for Onto IOP's adoption. Because after all, I mean, they represent the most major financial ontology effort around, period.
Yeah, sounds good. So who could ask Mike Bennett?
Gruninger, maybe?
Yeah, I guess I could send an email about it, sure.
Yeah, good, many thanks.
So this would be to get him to submit an LOI on behalf of EDM?
Yes.
Yeah, I think this will be strategically helpful to Onto IOP.
So, and I will ask Leo from Mitra, because Mitra is even a contributing member. It's the highest level of membership you can have. Okay. Then that's it about LOI. So if you ask people, don't forget that it's only 12 days from now. So it's a bit short of notice.
Can you get an extension?
I don't think so.
So they would need a vote of the ADPF to change the LOI date, which they don't care to do because they feel like it's, when you do that, it's just for people packing the, maybe that's the voting list. They generally don't care to extend the LOI date, but you'd have to get a vote in any case.
Okay.
So the question that is, you still need a university member to sign. Is that true?
No. Actually, that doesn't make sense because, so we would need platform members or higher to sign the LOI. And the university members, okay, I think Magdeburg and Toronto should sign it because they want to contribute intensively there. And then we can have them as university members in, but there should not be too many university members because they not really can actually submit something later on. Okay. Yeah, so then we have discussed the LOI issue. We could spend some words on the standard document. I have sent it around.
So I'll have to leave in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, then let's postpone this because we're not so well prepared there anyway. Then let's do this in 2 weeks.
I have one thing to bring up, I mean, now that we have a few minutes. As most people on the call are already aware, I'm retiring. So, and that means I will retire from this as well. This does not have to be immediate, but presumably should be fairly soon. So I would like to see and discuss how I could phase out of my current contributions to this effort.
So then let me first thank you, Peter, for your invaluable effort and participating constantly in these numerous discussions. That was very helpful. Thank you for this nice cooperation here in Onto IOP. We will miss you.
Yeah.
And I agree. Find some way to organize it without you, of course.
And yes, I will be talking to IAOA also. One of the things I might suggest, but I mean this would be after the IAOA discussion, would be to see if they could pick up the provision of the conference bridge. But but Michael, since Michael is on this team, then he can continue.
So, yeah, that's future discussions, right?
Right. So I would. So
okay, Peter. Best wishes. You to come to UK, so hop in, and then we can meet.
Yep. Okay. So I guess. I guess this would be either my last or my next to last participation in these meetings. I would definitely stay on the listservs and
yeah, Peter, you're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I will try to stay on the listservs to observe, because this is definitely
yep.
very important work. Oh, by the way, besides the conference bridge, the minutes
here
and so on. Do you have another listserv to pick up the communications? I don't know if you can hear me.
No.
Oops. Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yes. Much better. Peter?
He's typing something on the chat.
Okay, that's all I have.
Okay, great. So then you come to the next meeting, but probably the invitation should be done by someone else, so I would take over from you with the invitations.
Yeah, that would be great. The fact that, I mean, since a lot of the retiring of the services, like the listserv and things, I don't find out until I talk to, for example, IAOA or the rest of the Ontolog people. So I'll have more concrete arrangements by the time we have our next meeting, hopefully. So
mm-hmm.
I will come to the next meeting. All right.
Yeah, great.
So next meeting, same time in 2 weeks?
Yes.
All right. Okay. I will capture that.
So I'll see you all probably in a month, maybe in 2 weeks. Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you all. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Q.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Q.